What's going on? It's that dude Darrell, Daryl Teeler. I'm Justin Valentine. Cody Rhodes going face-to-face with Roman Reigns, and then The Rock on Raw. And over in AEW, two new champions on Dynamite. It's time to roar around the ring. All right, let's go in chronological order of what happened to Cody Rhodes over the last few days, because he had himself a hell of a 4 days.
You think he's doing okay?
I hope so, man. His blonde hair is all red now.
That could be the look for WrestleMania.
Just dye red. We've said that before.
And that was what The Rock promised him.
We've said that before. Who made him bleed before? Is it Brock?
I mean, Brock's made everybody bleed at
That's
some point.
That's fair.
I'm
but
pretty sure.
Someone made Cody bleed, and we said his blonde hair makes it look that much
He bled against Dustin.
Brutal. That too, that match, and both of them are blonde, right?
Yeah.
So let's start before we get to the bleeding to SmackDown. Cody Rhodes, Roman Reigns.
Before
going
we get
face
to the bleeding.
To face. I know that's. If you watched Raw,
hey,
you know
if you
what
watch
I'm
Raw,
about.
You'll get it.
God.
Yeah.
But yeah, Cody and Roman going face to face on SmackDown. Now, they both kept their word until the end. They both said it would no bloodline, no Seth, no backup, face to face, one on one. Neither man ended up keeping their word to the end. Roman thought he had Cody set up. Cody had Seth and Jay waiting in the crowd. Are you okay with the fact that neither of them trusted the other and neither of them kept their word when it came to keeping the rest away?
I mean, why would they? And technically, they did keep their word. They showed up in the ring alone.
Yeah.
Minus, of course, the wise man.
Sure.
But why would Cody especially trust Roman?
That's true. I mean, Jay and Seth were saying that last week on Raw, and I get it, but I almost wish they did. Just for the fact that as great as this whole storyline is, the tag match and Seth involved, and like it's the biggest tag match we've ever seen, and
right.
it's great. It doesn't feel like Cody's story anymore, right? And we're not, I guess we're not hyping up the fact that there's a whole nother main event happening Sunday night, Cody and Roman one-on-one. And every promo, and rightfully so, has been The Rock's involvement, Seth's involvement, the world title, even Drew. And again, rightfully so. But at some point, I want to see Cody and Roman face-to-face, no one else around. Because you know we're not going to get that one-on-one match at SummerSlam. Wow. WrestleMania. Gosh.
We're in Cleveland already.
We're in Cleveland already. Yeah, no, but we know it's not going to be one-on-one, right? We expect there to be shenanigans, whether they're supposed to be or not.
Right.
I kind of want Cody and Roman just to have their moment with no one else around before WrestleMania, at least once. And this was their time to do it. And, of course, here comes Solo. Here comes Jimmy. Here comes everyone else.
I mean, it could serve to a broader point. Or bigger picture of the story as it is, that at this point, it's kind of been the complaint with Roman is that he doesn't win clean.
Yeah.
So this is kind of just more proving that as we go, especially sure. leading up to this big rematch between the two. Roman has been a very dominant champion, obviously, yeah. for a very long time, but clean wins have not been especially a part of that.
Yeah. One thing I agreed with Roman, though, he called Cody a politician. And this is something with Cody, and he tried to backtrack it on Raw and explain it. And I still, when he came out and explained it on Raw, and I'm like, no. Because, I say this, and I'm a huge Cody guy, but you aren't as relatable as other baby faces have been, right? Because you come out, even though you mean well, you're doing these great things at live events, you're a great dude, we see that. When you come out dressed like that, you're dressing like someone who thinks they're above me, right? They're less relatable. Roman comes out more relatable. Roman said this on the Pat McAfee show as well, right? And I've said this in general because Pat McAfee is like the king of this, right? Pat comes out in a tank top.
Yeah.
And he hosts a show in a tank top. But people love Pat, not just because he's funny and he knows sports and whatever, but he becomes a little bit more relatable because he's dressing like me and you.
Pat McAfee is keyword relatable. You said it. And the thing that I think gets him a lot so over with us as fans is that he basically is a fan.
Mm-hmm.
It's like taking a diehard fan from the crowd and saying, hey, you want the greatest gig in the world?
Yeah.
Be a commentator on Monday Night Raw. Be a commentator at pay-per-views.
Yeah.
Do it. That's Pat.
That's what it feels like, right?
Yeah.
And it feels like you and I could do that, right? Yeah. Because Pat's doing it. Even though Pat's a former NFL player, that's fine. He still comes off as this regular dude. Roman shows up on Pat's show in a hoodie. Roman's the champion. He shows up on SmackDown in a hoodie, right? Yeah. Why does the heel feel more relatable than the babyface?
Because
here?
Roman Reigns, to put it somewhere relatable for a lot of people, Roman Reigns is the high school senior athlete that is like the superstar of the campus. All the coaches love him. Everyone loves him. Cody is the JV player that still has to dress up or get yelled at by the coach.
Yeah.
That's where we're at with this. Now, both very good at what they do,
yep.
But Roman has the seniority. Roman has the pool. Roman has the swagger. He's just the guy.
Yes. And I think Cody's too far into his WWE run to change, so I know it's not going to. But I really, really thought when he came over to WWE, he needed to ditch the suit. It worked in AEW because he obviously was the boss, one of the bosses there, right? He helped create AEW. It made a little bit more sense. Plus, he wasn't always a good guy over there. So it made a little bit more sense. When he came over to WWE, especially with the role that he's playing, and this is my story, and he's the top babyface, I really thought he needed to ditch the suit. And Roman, this is the first person in his whole run in WWE to bring this up. Roman's not wrong, right? This, you cheer for this dude, and I do too. I like him a lot, but he really just comes off as a politician.
But you don't think
or a
that
car salesman.
A car salesman.
You know, just like a perfect example. No offense. I really hope my car, I'm not going to name him. I hope he doesn't watch the show. He called me on my birthday a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
To wish me happy birthday.
And try to sell you a car?
Right. That's my point, right? It seems really nice. We're not cool like that. You don't know me like that. Why are you calling to wish me a happy birthday? Because you want to make sure that I come back to you at the end of my lease and buy a car from you.
So
right?
It's disingenuous.
It feels
Do you think
disingenuous.
Cody's presentation is disingenuous?
Cody's presentation feels disingenuous. It
really?
Isn't. Right? Because the story is legit, right? His whole promo, who he is legit. His presentation when it comes to the community, when it comes to the public, when it comes to him coming out on Raw every week in a suit, it feels disingenuous. You are coming out looking like someone that is dressing like as if he thinks he's above me.
So, okay, because last night we saw complete polar opposites of that in CM Punk and Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
Okay, so now I agree with what you're saying. I agree with what Roman's saying. However, you don't think that it serves to set him apart? Or because the only other person I think of when it comes to dressing, like, I guess, for lack of a better term, fancy
sure.
or like a politician or whatever, yeah. it's Ric Flair and The Rock.
Evolution.
Evolution, but that's modeled largely after Ric Flair. But yes.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But,
yes.
Yeah. Triple H. Batista,
even in that era. Okay. So my point that I'm getting to, I say that to say, when do you run into the problem of everybody dressing alike? Because in that era in the early 2000s or to the mid 2000s was everyone had a big tattoo. Everyone had a back tattoo. Everybody
right.
had, and it became a thing where internally people were telling the guys, chill with the tattoos because you're all starting to look alike now. Everybody comes to the ring dressed in a hoodie and sweats.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Generically speaking, not even talking about wrestling, anyone that dresses up like that, it feels less relatable. Okay, let's get into sports. Look at us right now, right?
Right.
I don't want to dress. You know what I mean? Because I don't feel nor am I above anybody. I want to talk wrestling to whoever wants to talk wrestling with me. If you look at sports talk shows, right? To me, it makes absolutely no sense when someone's on ESPN in a suit and tie talking sports to me. Right?
Yeah, I don't get that.
I don't want to hear it.
I've never understood
right?
that.
People who call
Wear a jersey.
Games. Right? Wear a shirt. Wear a hoodie. Wear just casual. Right? That's why Pat McAfee, that's a big reason why Pat McAfee is blown up. Because he is so relatable. Step one of him being relatable is because he looks like any other sports fan. Because you look at the guy and he's in a t-shirt and a tank top. And when it comes to baby faces, look at John Cena, t-shirt and shorts.
Yeah.
Right? CM Punk on Raw last night, in a hoodie. LA Knight, when he was Max Dupree, he was in a suit. When he switched over to LA Knight,
yeah,
he's in t-shirts.
Terrible. Yeah.
Right? That is, people don't necessarily actively realize that, but the way someone dresses is step one to them being relatable. And Cody should not be coming out in suit and tie every week. He just shouldn't.
But
it doesn't add up to what his story is and who he is.
So you think that the suit and ties should have been left in AEW?
Yes. Because you're not a boss over here. You're not playing the bad guy that's above everyone, right? The Miz comes out in a suit because he's the A-lister. That makes sense, right? Evolution did it because we were the top guys, right? Not to bring up his name, but Vince or anyone that plays an authority figure, Adam Pearce, Nick Aldis, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But when it comes to these baby faces, Seth dresses up like a freaking maniac every week. And we
like
love
a maniac.
That. And we love it. And we love it. Cody, I 100% agree with Roman on this, right? And it doesn't change who I want to win at WrestleMania, not even a little bit, but it makes me realize it is very counterproductive to the story you're trying to tell me with Cody. The dude is coming out dressing and acting like a politician, but he's supposed to be your top babyface.
Mm.
He's spot on. He is spot on that.
You are turning my opinion on that a little bit, although I do... Well, hold on. Don't take a victory lap just yet, buddy. I'm just saying.
Cody should have won at WrestleMania last year.
We still have to get through this WrestleMania.
Okay.
No,
we still got to
get through this WrestleMania before I even concede anything. Okay,
I'm just gonna blurt out opinions and hopefully he agrees with me.
At some point, I still think that though it's not. It's, especially when you're Cody Rhodes, the son of a plumber in Dusty. It doesn't hurt to differentiate yourself from your dad, who was presented as the everyday common working man. So it's not bad.
That's not, you know, he is the opposite.
But again,
right?
Nightmare. There's Cody Rhodes, and then there's someone like Ric Flair, who in his heyday, the point was Ric Flair is better than you.
Right.
That was, you know, so I understand what you're talking about presentation-wise.
On Raw, though, The Rock, surprise appearance, wasn't supposed to be there until Brooklyn next week. That threw everybody.
Yep.
And that
crowd didn't know how to react.
Yeah.
They cheered and they're like, oh, wait a minute. You're supposed to hate this guy.
There's that. But there's also, I almost thought it was fake, right? I was waiting for Roman to come out or Paul Heyman to come out or somebody to come out. Not The Rock.
It really was a complete Final Boss video game entrance in the way that he walked out.
Yep.
It's just like, okay, here he is and I have like half a life bar left.
Yeah.
Like, hold on. Because I don't even have my cheat codes in. I don't know what weapons I have here, like in the gallery. What's going on? But no, it was a cool moment.
Well, The Rock came out, didn't say anything to Cody at the beginning of the show, at least on the mic. He whispered something to him, which Cody called an empty promise, which ended up being, tonight I'm going to make you bleed. And he followed through on that promise.
Did you see, though, the speculations of what people were saying that he told him? Now, the one that popped me, though, was someone said, The Rock promised him that after WrestleMania, Stardust is coming back. I was like, man.
Arn Anderson showing up with his Glock at WrestleMania.
Oh, no. God. Hold on.
Wait a minute.
This is a complete, this went dark real quick. Then we go dark later.
Well, a lot of people thought Rock was whispering, and it was going to be, people are hung up on Rock is going to help Cody at WrestleMania.
Well, you know what? My first initial thought was that. And that's why Cody looked confused. Like, what?
Yeah.
I'm like, either that or he's singing Moana songs to him. It's one or the other. You're welcome. Yeah.
No, I don't care what happens, especially after last night. That does not make sense anymore for him to help Cody.
Not after
that. I don't
care
how mad he gets at Roman. I don't care how the tag match goes. It does not make sense
for him. Before we jump into what ended Raw last night.
Oof.
And I talked to a good buddy of ours here in the building as well. Shout out Janelle. And I said, look, did Triple H have food poisoning? Was he not on the headsets or something? Because I feel like everybody just took liberties and did what they wanted. And I'm like, was he like sick?
Did the first hour of Raw or hour plus feel weird?
Yes.
Because like between The Rock.
Not even
and
The
Cody,
Rock. Not even just Rock
and then
Cody.
Punk.
Punk. Yes. And then the Becky Rhea segment.
Yes.
I'm like, wait a minute. Is he like running to the bathroom every 2 minutes? Like, what's going on here? Like nobody's, because you best believe if it was he who shall not be named on the headsets, this whole show, I mean, people would have been having problems after this.
CM Punk almost named
who
he shall not.
Yeah,
by the way.
Who chose you?
Who chose you?
What paragon of good virtue chose you?
That was
And I was
wild.
Waiting, I'm like, oh, say it.
That was
say
wild.
It.
Yeah, that did. Like as much as the content was amazing,
yeah,
that pace felt weird.
It
like,
really did.
It was the,
but
was
disjointed the, in a good way.
In a good way, it was like the worst paced show in the Triple H era.
Yes,
but it was good.
It was almost like if Vince Russo was in charge, but he was good at it. I said it, Vince Russo. I said it right here.
Put him in the Hall of Fame. Don't do
put
that.
Put him on.
Don't do that. So the way Raw ended, as you mentioned, The Rock beating down Cody Rhodes, showing up backstage.
That was
I thought
more
he was
than just
done
a
for the night.
Down. I literally thought he was going to throw that man
I
over
I thought
the...
we're getting Austin off the bridge again.
I was like, dude, that's a long drop. Please don't tell me you're throwing... And they expect this man to show up a week later to WrestleMania in a cast.
WrestleMania's only 12 nights away. Please.
Jeez.
Bloodied Cody, talking to the camera.
Mama Rhodes.
Talking to Mama Rhodes. What did you make of how far Rock went on this beatdown to Cody?
This was, and I have to agree with the hyperbole and the hype that people were throwing out there, this was a return to Attitude Era moments.
Yes.
If not even that, just ruthless aggression moments.
Yes.
This was so far out of the realm of PG era that it's just like somebody said the last 10 minutes, take the gloves off. We don't care.
Yeah.
Do whatever you want. Say whatever you want. Rock was, I mean, it was edited out, but he was like full on.
He was.
Four-letter wording out there.
And shout out to the fans in Chicago, even though you get another show. Chicago gets way too much. But we got the videos of what he was actually saying.
Yeah.
They didn't bleep it out in the arena.
Yeah.
He said everything.
Everything.
I want them on Netflix so bad for that reason.
Just let it
because
happen.
If we're going to do this, just let it happen. Because it is. It does take away, as much as I appreciate The Rock doing it, it does take away from the fact that USA, like,
every other sentence has to blur.
and the thing is I understand why, but like when they bleep it out, they mute the whole show for a good 5-6 seconds. It's not like they're just bleeping out the word. They're bleeping
the
out
audio as a whole.
3 seconds before and 3 seconds after, and you just basically miss a whole sentence because of one word. As much as I appreciate it, it does kind of take away from the moment because I'm like in and then the audio goes out. And I'm like, did he swear or did my TV just mess up? What just happened?
My TV?
Like, am I going?
I pay for the subscription, damn it. You better.
Right. I want to hear it. No, this was. You said it. Attitude Era. Rock does not care. Now, the one thing I will say, Rock, as great as he is on TV, does not know how to be a heel in 2024.
After last night?
And here and last
explain
night
yourself.
Added to that because this is the guy who's talking about, oh, lady in the front row, drunk and horny, just how I like them, right? He said that. He's talking to Mama Rhodes, bringing the blood of his son to her.
That's
right?
Heel. That's heel.
That's heel. He's last night on Raw, I'm going to make you bleed, making them bleed, talking to the camera, swearing, everything, right? What did he do in between SmackDown and that SmackDown and Raw?
Yeah.
He went on social media. This is amazing, by the way. I am not saying this is – I love this, right?
Yeah.
But he goes on social media and he is singing a Moana song for a Make-A-Wish cancer patient, which is beautiful. But do we not realize how backwards that feels? This dude is on TV talking about drunk and horny and I'm going to make you bleed and I'm the boss. And the reason I'm saying this is because wrestling uses social media so much to push their stories. That is a big deal. And The Rock, obviously, when he was a heel last time, social media wasn't around. But for the amount of times that he uses social media, right?
Yeah.
He commented on a fan on SmackDown who took a shot at Roman and talked about how ugly she was, right? He's using social media to push how like horrible of a heel he is. But on that same platform, he's doing the most beautiful thing in the world. And that is so, and we talked about it, he's leaning into the cheers a lot.
Yeah.
As great as that was, and this is going to sound like cutthroat ruthless, that should have been just privately sent to the patient, right?
I thought you were going to go somewhere else with that, but
Nope. No, nope. Say, sure wasn't.
Bring that kid out to the ring. And have The Rock say, would you like a Moana song?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you want a Moana song.
Yeah, no.
And I would have been like, that's a heel.
That's a heel. But
that is a despicable human being.
But like, again, he's using social media to push what he's doing.
Right.
And on that same platform, doing the most beautiful thing in the world. It's the same thing as when he's coming out in Memphis being a babyface for the first 10 minutes and then the worst heel in the world in the final 10 minutes. He's a great heel. This run is amazing. This story is amazing. But, man, this is so all over the place when it comes, do I like this guy? Do I cheer for this guy? Or do I boo him out of the building?
It's The Rock basically getting a kind of like a small, like another run.
Yeah.
Right? But trying to enjoy it while balancing being a heel to serve to a purpose for another babyface. And it's a hard balancing act to do if you're one of the biggest stars in the world with one of the most followed social media accounts in the world. It's, you know, like you're going to have to promote what you do. And I know to your point, and I even agreed with you, like some of these things can be done in private.
Yes.
But depending on the scale of what it is, what foundations are involved, it's hard to keep it quiet sometimes.
Right.
And if you're The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, or, you know, anyone, I mean, John Cena never turned heel, probably for that very reason.
Mm-hmm.
How do you turn that down and be like, well, I can't do that because I have to be in character.
Right. And the dangerous part is Rock's whole story is to get the biggest babyface in wrestling over, and that's Cody Rhodes. And if you do this balancing act back and forth too much, and you get too much of the crowd to say, you know what? Hell yeah, I'm with The Rock.
Yeah.
And now you got people turning on Cody. And that takes away from what we are hoping is to be Cody's moment at WrestleMania.
Or, like any other good heel, you believe what you're doing is right and virtuous,
yeah,
even though it's evil. So doing the things like singing to the kids and meeting cancer patients and, you know, kids that are unfortunately terminally ill, if that's the case. And then on the flip side of that, you're beating this person to a bloody pulp and your reaction is, well, that's different. I do this for my family. Well, you're still makes you an evil SOB.
Correct.
it doesn't negate what you're doing, but yeah, that's one way to look at it too.
When I talk about politicians, Roman Reigns, by the way.
Yeah.
By the way, real quick before we move on.
I'm not going to attack their family though, because Samoans roll deep. They might bust in the studio right now.
I was going to say, I'm going to just go. We find out one word.
He
here.
Said it.
Like, how?
He said it.
How did what? What do you work?
They're
here?
All going to come in here. I'm going to get up here? And stand on that side and be like, yeah, Justin, what'd you say about that? He was talking real reckless about you guys.
Oh, my God. Real quick before we move on, Stone Cold Steve Austin and John Cena both on the truck in the background of this beatdown. Is that a coincidence or was that on purpose?
Man, in this era, I don't know. And I'm expecting them to be in some way, shape, or form involved in WrestleMania.
Yes.
Quick throw out with that. Did you notice in that New Day DIY Awesome Truth segment, it looked like Paul Heyman in the background.
Yes, talking to Drew.
Was that Drew?
I believe so.
Because I was
according to social media,
they did it just enough to where you couldn't really
correct.
But I know somebody had to screenshot that and zoom in, and I'm like, that looks like Paul Heyman.
According to social media is calling it Paul Heyman and Drew, but nothing really like Drew helped out. Like he attacked Seth at the end, but nothing else. Paul Heyman never showed up.
Maybe something's coming. Who knows?
That's those little things that Triple H does.
The little background things.
This is not a coincidence.
No. I don't think so.
With Rock involved?
I don't think so.
And you could tell me it's happening ahead of time, I'm going to lose my mind. Both John Cena and Stone Cold are helping Cody Rhodes finish his story.
It has to be.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it don't have to be, but it wouldn't not make sense.
Correct.
Like, yeah.
That moment, though, right? But here's the thing, and what we haven't gotten anything with Rock and Triple H. Are we good with that?
I feel like that has to come to a head eventually.
I mean, we only have one.
I mean, The
like,
Rock's kind of stopped calling him out.
Yeah, and Triple H hasn't been on TV.
Right. Because he was apparently sick last night and not watching the show.
Everyone's just inmates running the asylum.
Bruce Pritchard's back there. I don't know. Do whatever you guys want.
What like, promo you cut? No.
I don't care.
How much
Say
time
it.
Do I got?
Probably won't be here long anyway.
Let's go. Say something. Go. All right, let's go over to AEW. Speaking of inmates running the asylum. Dynamite, the only show.
Tony who?
Yeah, right.
The Young Bucks, they're the
bosses.
We love AEW.
We love you guys.
You guys are welcome here anytime.
Great Dynamite, honestly. Adam Copeland, your new TNT champion. I quit match with Christian Cage. Spike was the difference.
He was the difference maker.
He was the difference
in
maker.
In a match that was really freaking awesome, honestly.
That was great. I gotta know, were those plants with those hockey, those Bruins and Maple Leafs jerseys?
I don't know, but it all worked out.
It did.
It was so cool. Yeah, and but just the match itself was great. The ending, how'd you feel about
that's
the ending?
Okay, if you watched our show last week, I was sold on this 99 Royal Rumble finish.
Same. I think we both were.
I really thought that would be a great shit heel thing for Christian to do.
It would have fit the character perfectly. Yep.
This finish made sense. It really did. Big picture, yeah. Adam Copeland had to go over. This was really the only way to get, because Christian really doesn't care about anyone else in his group. right? So even if you were threatening, you know, Shayna Wayne, which you didn't really want to go that route.
No.
You know, because there's
I mean, they might now. You never know, just given if this is going to be like a fall apart of the patriarchy. Right. So,
but that's the thing. He doesn't care. We know Christian doesn't care enough about them to quit for them.
Right.
So if Adam Copeland had to go over, I agree, just because how long this feud has gone. He's lost two of the three matches so far. The one that he did win, he lost it right back right away. You know what I mean? So I get it big picture-wise, as much as I loved our idea of the finish.
Yeah.
But now that he's TNT champion, how what type of title run, A, is are him and Christian done, do you think?
I almost feel like you have to be. If you want to drag one more match out of it, you can, but I really don't know what the reason would be.
Five matches now already?
I think we've kind of hit the wall on it.
Yeah, I believe so. So what does Adam Copeland's title run look like now in terms of how long he holds the title, but also who do you want to see challenge him?
It shouldn't be very long. I mean, and I could be proven wrong. He might go on a lengthy run, but I don't see why. I think Daniel Garcia would be the one, a good one to be first up.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they just had that, and they didn't have a finish to
it. Yeah, it was just
match.
A recently involved in the whole thing.
Right.
And I don't mind him moving away from Christian, because Christian's problem now can be with his group. It doesn't have to be anything involving Adam Copeland.
Yeah. Well, the scary part is it seems as if when someone loses a title, they go away for a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I wonder if that, because look at, when's the last time we saw Ricky Starks and Big Bill? We haven't seen them since,
right?
You know what I mean? They lost the tag titles, gone, right? And that seems to happen a lot. When someone drops a title, I don't know. I'm worried about Christian. I don't know what you do with Christian. I really don't, because there's really not another face babyface champion that you could put him in with. And do you just try to push other people in his group?
I would go internally with him. I don't know. You could be like, well, a match between him and Killswitch. Whatever.
Yeah, you could break up.
I think actually the more money on that is a match between him and Nick Wayne.
Yeah, I mean, this could be
the
moment.
That's the direction you go.
Now, where does Shayna Wayne fall into that?
That's the whole, like, basically the catalyst for that match is her allegiances torn between this, like, kind of cult mind-washed thing of being allegiance to Christian or her son.
See, I think Christian is blaming the group, and I think he gets in Shayna's face.
Yeah.
And then that's where Nick's like, yo, that's my mom.
Yeah.
And that's where that rift
even though that was tested before, and we were like, why is he, you know, like, why
By
is
the
he
way,
cool to that? Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't saving her before.
Maybe now they'll just be like, well, don't worry, as that tends to happen sometimes, don't worry about all that.
I do like Adam Copeland getting a title here and a title run, because it's an excuse to get the dream matches, quote unquote. They love that term in AEW. The dream matches for Adam Copeland, right?
Yes.
There's a lot of names he wants to get in the ring with, but when it comes to why would they face each other, it's tough when there's not a title involved, especially with the amount of titles that are in AEW right now, because they keep adding more and more, especially in the men's division. Adam Copeland as a champion, there's your reason right there. We don't do rankings anymore, so now you can just have people come out and I want your title, I want your title, I want
How
your title.
How would you feel? I know I said Daniel Garcia. But let's say they either do that and then he doesn't win and they move on from it, or they save it for later. How would you feel about kind of like a realignment of the Bullet Club with Jay White going after
Jay White? I would love that. I would love that, especially with Jay White.
That's one of the first things
that
came to mind. Yep.
Again, which is the way to go. That never really made sense.
Because Adam Copeland versus the Bullet Club would be great.
That'd be great. Yeah. That'd be great, especially if you can get some backup for Adam Copeland. I'm a huge Ricky Starks guy. I'm going to continue to be that way. Now that him and Big Bill, as much as I hope it doesn't hurt Big Bill too much, I'd love to see Ricky Starks come on Adam Copeland. Go for that TNT title.
Yep.
That's it. They kind of have a history. They kind of went back and forth on Collision a few months ago.
Just play off of that, build off that. You can just kind of move them back to a singles.
And I think
position.
You can get the Moxleys in there, Brian Danielson in there, right? Get a whole feud with that whole crew. It's an excuse to get those feuds out of it, because he's been tied up with Christian for months. Basically, he came in October. We're in March, and he's done nothing but worked with Christian his entire time.
Well,
basically.
You know, the obvious next thing to do now is just put him with Jericho.
That'll
really get this kid Copeland over.
You make that joke, but they're going to
do that. I know, I was going to say, you think I'm joking, right? But give it a few weeks. We'll see.
Gosh. Okada, the Continental Champion, beating Eddie Kingston. Was this too quick to put a title on him?
Absolutely not.
No.
Absolutely. It all serves to the overall purpose and the storyline of the new Elite.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It works perfectly. Okada's amazing.
Yeah,
we've known this from
so
his
good.
New Japan days. You know, the character of him backs up how great he is in the ring. this wasn't too quick because of the storyline he's in, right? Yep. You look at a Will Ospreay. Will Ospreay just came in as well. It's a different type of push, though,
yes.
right? You know, the fact that Okada came in and aligned himself with the bosses, this makes sense. You know what I mean? You have the Young Bucks in the back, you know, on headsets with Tony Khan during the match.
Who's calling whose shots?
By the way, who's making the decisions? Tony Khan needs to stop being on TV because he just can't.
He's like the so the way that they always announce Tony Khan just made this match. I feel like we're talking about the Raw, like anonymous Raw GM again or something like that. Like,
because it happened so quick.
Yeah, it's like it's computer, it's AI.
He hit enter and it happened because they had the promo's been over for not even 5 seconds, and I'm not exaggerating. And Tony Schiavone is already
just announced.
He's not even done talking. And the match is already
official. Taz is like mid thought here.
The graphics already made and everything.
I know, right? Jeez. Wow.
Like, y'all are on this shit.
Shout out to the graphics department.
All right, fantastic. Yeah, great.
Give him a raise. Yeah.
Eddie Kingston dropping his title. Did this title run for him do enough for what you wanted it to for Eddie Kingston?
For me, I think so, because the whole thing for Kingston was the journey of him chasing that moment, getting there, getting those victories, getting those titles. He did that. He had some defenses that were pretty solid, really good. There's not really much more of a story to tell there.
Yeah, I think it did exactly all of that, right? The fact that he went on pay-per-view and beat Bryan Danielson twice. The fact that he won that tournament and the people he beat to get there. You mentioned it. His story has always been Eddie Kingston can't get to the top and can't stay on top. Yep. Not only did he get to the top, he had a couple months of a run. He had a pay-per-view win or two. He beat some quality names. This story is the way to go. I don't want to see him win it right back because the title with, you know, this version of the Elite is necessary, but this did exactly what it needed to do for Eddie Kingston.
Checked all the boxes.
100%. Yep. A few more things to get through before we get out of here. Back to Raw last night. CM Punk officially will be on commentary for that world title match at WrestleMania between Seth Rollins and Drew McIntyre. That segment was something, man.
With such a good line. I'm going to do something this company hasn't been able to do and make you both interested.
That was good. That didn't feel – none of that felt planned.
No, again, it just felt like
we're just
freestyling out here, man.
Drew's hanging out at commentary for some reason.
What is happening?
I'm enjoying all of this.
I am confused in the most delightful way here. Like, that's why I'm watching
this.
This is like
the most beautiful train wreck
I've ever
seen.
I love it.
Keep going. Yeah. I don't know what's happening, but keep going. He almost just said Vince's name. What is happening?
And I was like, they're really going to say it.
That was such a good line. Who called you the chosen one?
Yeah.
Say it.
What's his name?
Oh, my God. I love it. Obviously, we know CM Punk has a good history of being on commentary.
Yeah.
I love that they are, despite his injury, keeping him very much involved. And it really, it takes out the worry because we know Punk's injury history. And I feel like if he just went away, there'd be a lot of worry of, is he ever coming back?
I think
this just reassures us, don't worry,
he's still involved in the fold here. He's still part of WWE. He's contractually here.
Yes.
He's just hurt.
We need to be on Netflix because, man, that little comment for AJ Lee, too.
Yeah.
I'm like, Phil?
I mean, we had Easter eggs in that. There was an AJ Lee comment. There was a Jim Cornette shout out.
Yep. I'm like, Philip, watch your mouth. Philip, we're not on Netflix yet. I'm like, damn,
it's
man.
PG, brother.
Drew, damn. Just a reminder.
Oh, man.
Wow, man.
Don't get us fired out here.
Over in AEW, Swerve Strickland and Samoa Joe, that seems to be the next one-on-one title match for Samoa Joe. Do you like the timing of this?
I think as a fan of Swerve and me wanting him to be champion, I'm like, I'm for it. But I also, there's part of me that's kind of cautiously worried that it's being rushed.
Yes.
Like, I feel it needs to happen at some point this year.
Right.
But I don't want it to happen, like, in a month or two. Like, I feel it has to kind of wait a little bit.
The Undisputed Kingdom is what holds me up here. Right?
It feels unfinished.
It does, because it feels like their story is with Samoa Joe, and Samoa Joe needs to be world champion to tell that story, right?
Yeah, and now I feel like, given Adam Cole's comments, I feel like it's like, so are you guys redirecting your energy towards Wardlow now?
Right, and you have a whole unfinished business with Samoa Joe. But again, it also goes to Adam Cole. How close are you to being healthy?
Right.
Right? And that's a whole thing, because my worry of this Swerve match happening now is Swerve's not going to win because of the fact that we need to get to Joe and Cole. So I don't think Swerve is going to become champion until after we get Samoa Joe versus Adam Cole. And that's where I worry about the timing of it. I want Swerve in this spot. I want Swerve as champion. I just think they want Samoa Joe versus Adam Cole at some point.
Plus, I think Swerve needs to work more on kind of like really buying into the babyface character that they want him to be. If they're going to tell him to be the babyface character, he has to buy into that himself, because I don't feel like that's his natural state.
Yeah.
But time will tell.
Not who he is. LA Knight getting arrested at AJ Styles' house on SmackDown. You like this segment?
It was so Stone Cold Steve Austin-esque. And it was like the greatest, dumbest thing that I've seen in a lot. I was laughing.
Laying on the horn.
Yeah.
In the middle of the night.
So good.
What I the first thing I thought of, and it was AJ Styles who said this in an interview about Triple H. Everybody, and this is so true, every match on WrestleMania, every wrestler, superstar going into WrestleMania feels important.
It has a story.
It has an intense story of some sort that has you caring about it. This has no title involved.
None.
There's no champion. There's no odd. There's no stakes. There's no nothing.
No crazy stipulation.
And stuff like this makes you, I can't wait for these two to get it.
And you and I spoke about this the other day. Triple H's treatment of the roster, how it makes virtually 90-some percent of that roster seem important.
Yes.
We're over here talking about Liv Morgan and Nia Jax. Us being like, well, why aren't they on WrestleMania?
Right.
There's no title involved there.
Neither one are champions.
But they seem so relevant that they have to have a match somewhere.
Over in AEW, Hook beat Chris Jericho.
Well, that happened.
Shout out to
Hook. No, you know what? The match was fine. The suplexes, they were trying to do some kind of Brock Lesnar thing with it. I thought the first one hurt him.
First off, yes, I thought they were going to go solo Sokoa John Cena on this. I thought they when he kept suplexing
him. Kinda did for a moment.
But I thought but Jericho was never going to come back.
Right, right.
I thought
there was just no offense from Jericho at all. Like, yeah. It started off that way.
Yeah.
And it was just like, and what it did for Jericho was like, I'm watching that match in the first few minutes. I'm like, dude, you look really old.
Yeah, first off.
You should not be in this ring anymore. This kid is like murking you.
I mean,
the match was fine.
The match was fine.
And Hook got his shine. It's great, but I don't know what their follow-up is going to be
with
this.
The story isn't doing what they think it's doing for Hook. They think it's just a huge thing for Hook. But, okay, can I remind people that Action Andretti beat Chris Jericho?
Yeah.
So, like, this isn't doing for Hook what you think it's doing.
Yeah.
There's no title. Beating Chris Jericho, everyone's done it at this point.
No one's going to care about the FTW championship. Sorry, Taz.
I
love ECW. I'm an old schooler, but that title has never meant anything.
Last thing, Dom Mysterio helping Santos Escobar against Rey Mysterio. Are you okay with the possibility of Dom being paired up with Rey for a second straight WrestleMania?
Kind of doesn't interest me. Mm-mm. I feel like we spent so much emotional investment in that story last year, and we got a really good match, a really good payoff.
Yes, we did.
Bad Bunny was involved. There was a belt. Yeah. It was crazy.
Yep.
You know, but like now, I really just need to see LWO and Phantasma go against each other. That's all I really need.
That's all it needs, and it feels like Dom Mysterio deserves more. That dude has turned into the best, biggest heel in wrestling.
He has, but even in WrestleMania right now, like if you're giving me this, him being involved with this versus something else, I'm almost like, I'd rather really just have him be in Rhea's corner. Versus doing this.
My issue is they haven't given him a story, and this is where they're putting him. He deserves to have his own story going into Mania. Right? I wouldn't have hated if they did a multi-man match for the IC title and he was involved.
Or you know what they could do? Sign Chris Jericho to a one-day contract.
And what if he beats Chris Jericho at WrestleMania?
Huh?
You know who else did that?
There's your push right there, buddy.
Fandango.
And where is he now?
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Roll Around the Ring is available every Wednesday, 101 WRIF's YouTube page, WRIF.com as well. He's that dude, Darrell Teeler. I'm Justin Valentine. Talk to you guys very soon.